As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Times all my days.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I should have got the SEC football jingle going or Big Ten football jingle going or whatever, but hey, football's back, folks.
There you go. Wow.
Welcome back, everybody.
Listen to the excitement
Nick
in your
Baumgartner
voice.
Here along with Brendan Quinn. Brendan, it has been quite a minute here, I want to say. I have to bring the excitement today because you're coming off of I don't know what you want to call it, but a series of rough life decisions
on the golf course. This is a report for duty type of day, and that's the extent of it. That's all you're getting out of me, man. This thing is, I'm held together with duct tape and string at this point. So, yeah, a Saturday through Wednesday golf trip through Southwest Michigan.
Just Southwest?
Do people call it Southwest Michigan, or do they just call it
You didn't go up north or whatever?
No, we did that the last few years. We've run out of courses that we haven't played, so we had to go down there.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you went
but
down,
yeah, this thing started 5 years ago with four of us going up north, and now it's a 20-man trip. That's just an absolute shit storm. Yeah. So, but we had a blast, and as always, my brother came in, and
nice.
Yeah, the organization that a friend of ours, Kyle Mattson from M Live, that he puts into it is top of the line. So it's a great scene, but man, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and
Brendan is on. Welcome back to another episode of The Beat, by the way. I don't know if I've said that.
When was the last time we did this, man?
I think it was somewhere earlier in the summer. There wasn't a whole lot going on in June. I think I talked with Austin and Colton a couple times. Austin and Colton and I did a few podcasts. Right. You've been on golf, and there's really no reason to just record, but it is Big Ten media days, as folks know right now, and conference media days in general, as SEC is talking right now, Big 12 is talking right now, while they can.
Yeah, while they exist.
So it's talking season, as we like to say. I am not in Indianapolis, thank God, for Big Ten media days. Brendan is not either. I don't think he would have made it if anyone had even asked him to, but...
We should have done this in person, by the
Austin
way. Next one we're doing
there
in
you
person.
Go. Okay, we can do that. We can do that. Austin and Colton are, of course, there reporting on Michigan Talk today, Thursday, when we're recording this here. Jim Harbaugh spoke this afternoon, and I think some of the players as well. And then Mel Tucker and the Michigan State players will go tomorrow. So, of course, as always, check back to The Athletic for all of Austin and Colton's coverage and then anything else we have coming out of that. It's always a weird time, Brendan, because it's a two-week gap after Big Ten media days before anything else actually happens in college football. I always hated conference media days. You know this. But, it's this weird time, but it's also this time where a lot of things that haven't been talked much about in recent months, at least in public, start to get talked about again. And that absolutely happened here in the last couple of days. Do you want to start with...
Yeah, a lot of it's just kind of getting people back... Yeah. in the same room. It's obviously a publicity thing. It's July. There's nothing going on. So, hey, here's all these conferences parading around saying how great they are. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
But this year, I do think, though, I would add, like, not to cut you off, but like, doesn't this feel, this felt a little different to me because everything is just, no one knows what in the hell is going to happen in the next like 12 months to the next 12 months to the next 12 months. Like, there's so much change happening all over the place, everything with NIL. Like, to me, this all felt like everyone's taking this opportunity now to even probably crank that up even higher and just posture probably even more than they normally would, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there was, I thought it kind of seemed like from the coaches and things like that, you know, guys who were going through it like they did in the past and kind of trying to treat it as normal as possible, while also having to talk about everything that happened in the last 15 months, right?
Yeah, right.
And
because these didn't happen.
And then,
last
yeah,
year,
just kind of yeah. acting like, you know, hey, the season's going to be perfectly normal, just like, you know, last year should have been, and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, okay, we'll see. Let's hope.
I think that you just touched on an interesting point there. Everyone's saying, okay, we'll see, let's hope. And that's what it's felt like to me, right? Where it's felt like a lot of these conferences and schools have gone back to their shareholders, so to speak, because that's what these are for. They're not talking to us. They're talking to their fans and their players at these things. And, you know, a lot of, I don't think it's just locally here. I think we see this across the board in other places. Like, I think fans have lost trust in the people who run college athletics, if they had any left to begin with, after a really messy year and how it was handled a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of cases you see that coming across. Like, Kevin Warren today had a speech at the Big Ten media days that lasted a lot longer than Jim Delaney's did, and it was interesting, we'll say the least, right? I think some things were planned there for him to touch on. So things like that, I think, are happening. And to me, it's just, it's been weird. It's been interesting and weird because it feels like we're all like, I guess this is how everyone's life is, so to speak, in some ways, right? Like, COVID ends, you get your vaccine, and it almost feels like you're turning the light back on in your life for the first time in like a year, and everybody wants to start over again. And it's like, where does this start?
Right.
In college athletics, to me, it just feels like we're starting everything completely brand new again. It's not that way, but in weird ways, it feels like that.
Yeah, I thought this was definitely, going by Kevin Warren's comments, it felt like a guy who took this massive job immediately had, you know, everything just turned on its head, and he kind of wanted to come out, I think, today, and because he took a ton of shots last year.
Well, I think
year.
He was like, let's, hey, I'm Kevin Warren. We haven't met.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only had he not met a lot of people, but he got hammered at times.
Oh, horribly.
Last year. Right. You know, like, you wanted, in a perfect world, Kevin Warren is able to kind of have this transitionary time, you know, Delaney to him, and kind of tiptoe into things. Instead, he has to make these massive sweeping decisions related to, you know, are they even going to play the damn sport, which is the only reason that the conference exists in the first place.
Right,
so, I've had chances to kind of talk to him a few times, and once, like, he definitely illustrated that fact of, like, I feel like, you know, like, people might not really connect with him, and that if he were certain fan bases, he was just kind of able to be cast. This is me talking, not him, right? But he was kind of cast as that, as a boogeyman type situation, right? You know, and it's, you know, you gotta get some of that capital back at some point. So, you know, yeah.
Well, I think though, in some of those cases, I would argue, in that case, yes. But also, like, I think that you need to get some of it back from the people that, because I think that there were stable fan bases out there that like were also like, we would have really liked to see a stronger response from you to the people who were like being ridiculous, right? And so it's a two-way street here that's been very interesting for a lot of people like him, because, you know, we've talked about this 1,000 times, like, the Big Ten forever. Delaney's Big Ten was the league of consensus. One votes for all votes for one. There were no splinters or anything else. And, you know, here comes Kevin Warren, and COVID hits 2 months into his thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, the league splinters. So, you know, I think a lot of what's going on right now is to try to repair some of that. But I think the only thing that repairs most of that is time anyway. And we'll just have to sort of see how everything shakes out. Did you see much about the SEC or Big 12 bombs there that were dropped?
Well, yeah. I mean, at one point there was like the actually, I, was either in between rounds or on the course where like a notification popped up that was like Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Like, I thought it was done.
I think it sounds like it's pretty much
it seems
done.
That way, but I thought it was like done. So yes, I did see that. And yeah, it's one of these things like you want to talk about, like you remember when it started the last time, mm-hmm. you know, the realignment, and it went, you know, a big move, and then it's okay, what the hell now? Hold on to your asses, right? So with this, like you talk about Alabama and, or I'm sorry, Texas and Oklahoma, you know, this thing could change the landscape in just massive ways. Cause you can just go right down the wormhole. Okay. If this happens, then what happens after it? And I don't know, but that's going to be one hell of a league. I'll tell you that much.
Like, I mean,
it's a lot of money. It's going to be a lot of dollar figures on these things. And I want to see the lawyers that are involved.
Let me float you this one. Because I read Max Olson wrote a story today about the Big 12's reaction to it. It was really good about how they were all blindsided, right? By just all the power brokers. Because Oklahoma and Texas did this behind everybody's back. Like, everyone knew they would. Like Nebraska was worried about the last time, right? Yep. You remember this? The reason, and we get our buddy Lee Barfnack down here. He'd tell you right now. The main reason why Nebraska went to the Big 10 was so that Texas and Oklahoma didn't screw them and leave them out in the middle of the wilderness. So, I mean, like, I think that, yeah, you're right. I mean, how could you be blindsided? But also, they certainly did it under the cover of darkness. And, you know, the story, anyway, kind of goes into questions about, well, why are they doing it now? Like, why are Texas and Oklahoma, why do they want to do it now, right? And, like, I think it was revealed as the day went on, like, when the next TV deal is up, 2025 or whatever. And I think that it was also reported by someone today that, you know, next week, I guess they plan to make it official or whatever, that after the next TV deal ends, they're leaving. I also think it's been bandied about that they don't have to take Oklahoma State. So what you see is one league, like Brendan just said, with a ton of money and everything else. The Big 12, I would assume, is just going to dissolve. And then what I look at that and say is, like, well, what's the intention here of a giant super league SEC? Is it to just be the best league, which you already are, or is it to just be its own thing and separate completely from everybody else? I have no idea. But like, those are things that where my head goes in that when I see Texas and Oklahoma trying to get with Alabama, LSU, and the other schools that we, you know drive the boat down there in the SEC. It's like, are you guys trying to create a superpower that runs on its own, or like just be the best of the best? I don't know. It's interesting, but I would assume that it will make even more money once it starts up.
I feel like everyone has generally felt that in the next 5 years, possibly 10 years, that the leagues will get to 18.
Yeah, within 10 years, maybe. That's probably fair.
And that's been, I feel like that's always been kind of the, you know, the conversation that's just being had on the side of like, eventually it's going to get there.
But we probably would have said this 10 years ago, I bet. Huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So like if they're going to happen, that means, you know, the SEC is going to be adding two. It's going to be which are the four leagues.
Yeah.
So you want to be in the position of the most powerful spot. And if you're Texas and Oklahoma, they are the needle for, you know, what's the Big 12 has to offer. So, you know, they don't give a shit about Iowa State. So off they go to all the money. When is the SEC's next TV deal?
I would assume it's going to be somewhere along the same window. You know, I don't know when exactly it comes up, but I mean, if the next one with the ACC or whatever, Longhorn Network is another complicated one too.
That's going to get real complicated. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they'd have to get out of that, you would think. And like, you would also assume that it would be more beneficial to just go with Super League money, TV wise. Like, what would that TV contract, to your point, like, what would that TV contract look like? The Big Ten,
I mean,
got a billion.
If you have Texas at the table for the TV deal
with Bama and
it's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely crazy. So, yeah, the SEC is just going to be just a money cannon, right? So, and I love like some of these schools that just haven't won dick that are just going to be sitting there just swimming and all this money. Yeah. Vanderbilt is just like, this is awesome. Thanks, guys.
Not to mention the fact that Texas would be like a last place team in the SEC if they started tomorrow, the next day, the day after, or whatever else. Like, that's neither here nor there. But yes, no. Like, I often wonder, like, is Kentucky just like, whoa, shit, like, this is going to be awesome. we're not going to spend a dime of it on football. It's all going to be, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it all ends or where it all goes, but I mean, like, the more that these things continue to happen, I mean, logic just says that, yeah, you're going to have a couple of super leagues playing each other. And we've talked about this on this show a bunch. I know, Brendan, like, football at some point has to get separated from the rest of the pack within the, whatever we want to call it, structure of college sports, whether it's run by something called the NCAA or something else or whatever. It really does need to get, I think a lot of things probably need to happen before that conversation. Maybe that's why it gets complicated, right? But like, I mean, football's, it's outgrown it. I mean, it's out, you know, especially now with all the extra stuff that's going to come in, money and everything else. I mean, it's just, it's outgrown it. So it would make sense to me that whatever happens with these super leagues in football, like, I would just hope that you'd have, like, Kansas is the team that you think about all the time, right? It's just like, mm-hmm. the hell is going to happen to Kansas? You know, right. It's like, I mean, nobody wants Kansas football. Everyone would like Kansas basketball, but basketball doesn't pay anybody's bills, not to a degree that, you know, these big leagues. So, and then, you know, I don't know what happens there. I have no idea. I mean, from a basketball standpoint, it's always just what the hell's going on, you know?
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Because if you're the Big Ten, is this your signal? You got to go shopping, right?
Like I would think so.
You don't want to be stuck with the leftovers,
yeah.
Right, and you don't want yourself to be vulnerable to be poached,
right?
And I think, you know, especially here, you know, we look at the Big Ten in a certain way. We're like, you know, no one's leaving the Big Ten, right? But you never know. You never know. I would never say never.
There are days I wonder if Ohio State might not feel more
comfortable. I mean,
Texas,
why not?
Oklahoma down there, you know what I mean?
That's what, like, I'm saying. If there's two more spots in the SEC and Texas and Alabama are both hanging out down there,
you can make
if
a
I'm
deal
Ohio to beat, State, you have to think about it.
You can make a deal to beat Michigan every year, play Michigan every year if you want, and keep that on your thing or whatever. But yes, like, everyone would have to think about it. I would think at some point, like, and that's where this is all going to go. It's like the scene in the office where they're all playing on the murder mystery game at the end, where they all got the guns, you know, and they're in the room. like that's what all this is all the time. It's just everyone constantly pointing at each other, being like, "We'll do it, mm-hmm. and we'll team up against you, and you'll have no choice," right? Like, and so you're always sort of wondering when you have to be the last person on the. On the last boat to whenever
that's
this
right.
becomes whatever it's going to become, because that's, I guess, the tension here that just constantly lies underneath college football forever. College basketball gets away with not having to worry about it because they have the tournament that's always there and it's the same and it never changes and it's the most important thing and everybody agrees on that. Like, this is not going to be whatever this is very soon, right? Like, we've been mm-hmm. able to say that every year for the last, like, I don't know how long. You're always, it feels like, in this state of constant change, and we just haven't gotten even close to, I think, where this thing's going to evolve into. And, like, it does finally feel like some of that is, with NIL and other things, is starting to ramp up. But, you know, it's felt like that for 10 years. It's felt like we're constantly
yes.
rolling towards something that's not going to be anything that we even recognize, which maybe it's good. Maybe it's for the best. I don't know. I mean, I think people should be open-minded about that. But when I hear people like Dabo Swinney being like, well, what about the Bulls? And it's like, what about back in the day when you could be a top 25 team? And it's like, man, we don't have time machines, right? Like,
right.
we can't go back. You know, we can say that it was more fun that way. And we can say that things might have been whatever if we think that. But, like, this bullshit about going back in time has got to stop. And hopefully, for the most part, because I don't see a lot of people agreeing with Dabo. I see more people kind of getting with the times here. So I've been a little encouraged. Nick Saban bragging about his quarterback making all that money, right? Like, I mean, that's recruiting. So I see people embracing it, and I think that that's a good thing. So we'll see kind of where all this goes.
Nick Saban needed to use that pulpit all day yesterday just to tell Alabamans to get freaking vaccinated, right? 33%.
Is that what it is?
33%. Yeah, 33%. Come on now.
Well, he's not doing that. You know that. Nick Saban is not Nick Saban for nothing, my man. Good God. It's the last thing he would ever do.
But all right, so if I'm making you Kevin Warren.
All right.
You get So if they got to get to 18, right? You got that's four.
Oh shit. Okay, yeah. So they're at 14 now, and you're keeping everybody that's here, right?
I assume so.
You're not kicking anybody out. Rutgers doesn't get booted out of here at the last second, so we can bring in like somebody better. I don't know, like, whatever. Right? Like, is that on the table? Probably not. You have contracts.
Probably not. Probably not.
So we got to add four more. I mean, Notre Dame, right? Like, is that has to be?
That has to be your first pick.
I mean, I got to think at some point you got to find a. I mean, Notre Dame having that agreement with the ACC in football has always been. And I know the Big Ten's always used to look at them like, well, you either join or nothing. But it's like maybe that needs to be revisited if this is going to continue, right? So I would say Notre Dame is probably needs to be top on the list. Would you entertain someone like Kansas for the benefits that it would give you from a basketball standpoint? I mean, it would make your basketball league even more outstanding. It's already outstanding.
I think brand-wise, you do it.
It's not
gonna, Kansas is a good brand.
It's not going to, like, destroy your football brand. It's not going to help it, but like Kansas is Kansas, but like whatever. I mean, if you get more money in there, who knows, right? Like,
yeah,
could help.
I would. Kansas is on my list. Yes,
Kansas. What about like Pitt or Cincinnati? Those level teams. Would those
see,
be
I don't
enough?
Think anyone's. I don't
or
think
would
anyone's
you say,
leaving.
That?
I don't think anyone's leaving. Like,
I guess they'd have to jump
ACC
up. So you'd still be looking at like your Big 12s. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if are there teams in the ACC that are also
that
looking?
Pull?
I don't know. Like that's one of those. Do we get stronger together, or do we all just start going our own way? Yeah, I mean, if you're going to raid the ACC,
yeah, that's actually a good way of looking at it because Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC is Super League stuff. So you would need to go call like North Carolina if you're the Big Ten. I think.
Yeah, I mean,
and Duke. How about that?
If you're doing it, that's the way you go.
How about it? Notre Dame, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas.
Or do you want Virginia?
No. Notre Dame, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas. I got North Carolina, Duke in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina is good in football again, like, and they have been in the past. Good enough, right? We got Kansas basketball, for crying out loud, in the same league with North Carolina, Duke, all these other teams. And Notre Dame. Like, I'm good.
Now, the only problem with that is you're making all basketball decisions, really.
Well, what else? Virginia football isn't.
Well, that's
like,
true.
That's the deal. I mean, like you said it earlier, Texas and Oklahoma are the two teams in the middle of the country that the Big Ten loyalists 10 years ago were like, we need to get Texas. You need to get Texas. Jim Delaney, you need to get Texas. You need to get Texas to Oklahoma before the SEC does because we'll be screwed forever.
Right.
So, I mean, if Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC, I got to tell you, like, I don't see the Big Ten lapping the SEC in football anytime soon. I think that your play would be to do the best you can with that, but also, like, lean on the fact that you do have, like, an awesome basketball league and some other things as well. If you're going to be the champion of college athletics and not just the champion of 12 Saturdays in the fall,
right,
and that's it, and not giving a shit about anything else, then be that, you know? And I feel that's idealistic to say, but...
Because on the ACC, like, I feel like Clemson is probably watching this right now and saying, we got to go.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm Clemson, I'm calling Florida State, and I'm saying, you and me, let's roll.
And Miami, yep. Let's go to the SEC. Let's go call them and just see if they want to go to 20 or something. Like, I mean, like, that's where this goes, and that's where people's heads go with that, right? Where it's like, oh, there are no rules. You can do whatever you want. There is no, this is all bullshit. It's all like, we know this. Like, the NCAA is not something that, like, it's there because these schools allow it to be there. You know, you can change whatever you want.
I don't think Clemson is worried about honoring its allegiances to NC State and Pitt for conference. All right, they could give two shits. They say, we want this state. We want our stadium full and rocking with Texas coming to town for an SEC football game.
And they have their rivalry with South Carolina, which is in the SEC. So.
There you go. Right. Now, I do wonder that stuff of, like, you know, the interstate stuff, if that goes out the window when it comes to this. But, like, some of these schools don't want some of these other schools in their league, for sure.
Texas A&M absolutely does not want Texas in that league, or Oklahoma, but mostly Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most surprising thing about it, is that Texas A&M, although
they're going to fight it, but, like, they haven't been in the league very long, and, you know, their only advantage there from a recruiting standpoint was that they were going to, you know, you come here instead of Texas and you'll get to play Alabama. So you right. you know, you'll get to put film against Alabama every single year. And if you're Texas, but also at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, if you're Texas and you can't figure it out after you join the SEC, then maybe you need to just quit trying because, right. like, I don't understand that either. But that's neither here nor there.
But the other thing that's going to be wild to kind of see unfold in the next couple of years are like just the ones that just get totally left behind and just fall completely off the face of the earth. Like if the ACC starts getting kind of pulled apart, right?
Yeah.
But like Boston College, see you later. They might as well be St. Joe's at that point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, that's
right out of the A-10.
I just think that when it's all settled, if there still is like if amateur, if whatever we want to call this level of football.
Right.
Okay.
You've got
pro football and you've got whatever this is. So if in 20 years, whatever this is still aligned with American universities, which may or may not happen. These are the things that who knows, right? Like at this point, my God, I mean, all these things are just all over the place, but whatever happens when it finally sort of settles, I just think that it's going to be, like a 40 school group of really rich schools that runs a league that operates kind of like the NFL. And it's just like, we're just going to play each other and we're going to kind of do whatever we want. And then football is going to be separate from everything else. And we're just going to do this. And that's going to be that. And everybody else, you can play in a different level of football. Like if you're not in this, you know, like I don't see how else would it end? I don't, you know. I know that we keep worrying about the bowls and everything else, but the further and further we get away here, like the less and less you hear about people complaining about, what about the bowls? Like that gets quieter and quieter and quieter. So like at the end of the day, I just, when it all settles, that's what it feels like to me, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, it feels like that could be 25 years from now before something like that happened.
All right.
If
ever, I don't know,
you know, so
there's certainly still a chance that I agree. We think that it seems like it's, certainly rolling this way, but you know, I do. There's certainly a percentage chance that the SEC says no.
No to what? To Texas and Oklahoma?
Yeah, they don't have to. You know, they don't have to do that. I wouldn't think. I'm just saying we're talking here like this thing is over, and there could be a story that comes out in 2 days that says, you know,
my
it's not happening.
Because
here's the other part. Like, does Alabama want Texas?
Well, they don't give a shit. They're already beating Texas's ass.
I would think so, but they're also like Alabama is the clear biggest brand in
SEC
football.
Yeah, I think that if
football.
You looked at it,
Texas is really the only thing that can walk in there and be and flex on Alabama at all, just in terms of size, strength, money, following.
That's true, because you have to look at it long term, and you have to say like when Nick Saban retires,
mm-hmm.
you know, then what? Right. If you're Texas, then you just say, well, we'll just wait till he retires or dies on the sideline or whatever, you know, whatever happens. And then we'll make our move, you know, like, and you could, you know, if you're Alabama and that could be a concern. But also, like, I do think for it to get this far and for all of those sort of like non-denial denials to come out.
Right.
It makes me think that this has been something that has been discussed for some time. And the SEC people that matter are probably or have been aware of this. I'm not so sure the SEC folks were as blindsided as the Big 12 folks, is what I'm saying here. This seems like, from all the things we've seen come out, that Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC had a meeting that the Big 12 wasn't invited to and, organized this. I mean, I don't know how else, you know, I can't imagine it's just the SEC or it's just Texas, Oklahoma being like, we don't care if they want us or not, we're leaving. Like, I don't, you know, I got to think that it's been, for it to go this far and for nobody to be able to, you know, and everybody tried yesterday, of course, everywhere, you know, like,
right.
And no one came out and was like, well, that's ridiculous. Everyone was like, well, you know, things change.
Sure.
You know, and it's just like, okay, what the hell's that mean? Because it was the one statement, I think Oklahoma made it first, that was like, we don't comment on rumors and
there you go. Non-
there and I was is. Like, of course you don't, right? Of course not. Let's let that
be,
just run.
Frankly, know. It'd be odder if you issued a statement that did comment on it.
Of course you don't, because you guys leaving the Big 12 is the same as, you know, a rumor that your quarterback's leg got hurt or something like that. It's the same thing, right?
Right?
So, it's just a bullshit rumor. I mean, it's whatever. People are bored. Anyway, back to the topic at hand here, I guess. Michigan did talk today, or head of state, Jim Harbaugh. Did you hear any of Harbaugh's comments here? You want to, before we get into any of this Michigan talk?
Win games or die trying, man.
Win games or die. Well, it was beat Ohio State. I think that was the question.
Beat Ohio State, beat Michigan State.
Beat the rivals. Yeah. I actually did think that.
And it was a Big Ten championship. The question was right. You haven't won a Big Ten championship. You haven't beat Ohio State.
Right.
And that elicited the win or die trying.
Which I think sort of all goes hand in hand. And I think that if you're someone who follows Michigan, you probably know that all three of those things, you kind of have to do all of them to win the Big Ten, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, it's or die trying. And I looked at that and I saw him say it. And I was like, that's like the most Jim Harbaugh quote that you'll probably ever hear him say.
That one can go on the headstone, man.
That's like as on brand without probably trying to be. Like, I think that's like all these, we talk about so many times about how these things are like bullshit and like guys are just up there saying whatever. And he does the same thing, right? Of course. But like, if you had to find the most honest moment in his thing in the 15 minutes, this is probably that right there where he's mm-hmm. like, we're going to do it or I am going to die standing here trying. Like, that's, and he's not joking and he's not like overstating it. And like, that's the Jim Harbaugh that Michigan people hired, remembered, and the one that made everybody uncomfortable is the one that would look you in the eye and say, I'm just going to stand here and do it until I die trying. I don't care. You're going to have to kill me to put me out. You can say all those things and you can sound, you know, and make people uncomfortable, but whether or not you do anything to follow it up is obviously, and at this point with Harbaugh, there's nothing else possible to even say other than, you know, we're going to try to fix all the things that you know are wrong here. I mean, there's nothing else to say. Like, I think Aiden Hutchinson remarked to somebody, I saw that somebody tweeted this, like, that you can't find one good thing about Michigan football on social media and they love it. Like, they're going to use that as motivation or whatever. So cool. But at the same time, I just don't know what you're supposed to say, you know.
Like, and that's just like a Harbaugh quote. That's just, you know.
Well, yeah, that was just
it is in the long line of Harbaugh quotes. Just add that to the list. But I thought the far more interesting thing that he said during that actually had some content to it was when he was asked about the assistant coaches, and he said like 10 times that there's trust in the room. That there's trust in the room. There's trust in the room. We trust each other. We're listening to each other. We trust the room. You know, there's trust in the room over and over. That made me think, well, if you say that many times, then what the hell was going on before? And I don't know how much you like how.
Oh, I can. Do you know?
get right on into that one because like it was pretty clear.
So we've talked about this probably a couple times this offseason. And I know Austin and I have. And I think we probably talked about it on the show. But the bottom line deal here, and he was asked about this last December, and he said there was no disconnect. Because I think I asked him at one point, you know, or maybe somebody else did. Because there was clearly a disconnect between not only the staff and the roster, but there were times where you would almost wonder if there's a disconnect inside the staff, right? Where it was like, does everyone know what's going on at all times? Is there any communication happening here? What is going on? Are there certain people that are, you know, operating under a certain agenda? What, you know, like it just got very fractured last year. It was impossible for anyone to sort of deny. And I think sometimes Harbaugh, we've seen this with other things. He can be sort of like, well, not sort of, he can be late to understanding a lot of those things, right or wrong. I mean, like that's just the situation. And so that's one where I think it got away from him. And by the end of the year, you know, after they sorted out the contract and everything else, I think it went in concert. You also heard today, if you were really paying attention, that he mentioned when someone asked him about Mike McDonald, that he mentioned that Ward Manuel was involved in that decision. That is another part of this, I think, where Ward Manuel, in part of his evaluation of the program, saw all this. And I think they made a very strong as much as they could effort. And again, I've said this all year, all winter, spring, summer. I give Harbaugh credit for it because he listened to people. Like, he listened to the people on his staff. Like, when they made the decision to move on and change the recruiting department and they bring in a guy like Courtney Morgan, like, that's listening to people on staff who said, we need to do this. So he did it. Like, hiring guys like Ron Bellamy and Mike Hart, and we've talked about how important that is. Like, those are guys that come incredibly highly respected, that played here and, like, still love this place and want it to win. There's zero reason why they should be anywhere else. Why are they not here? Why has Mike Hart not been on this staff for the last 5 years? 7 years, right? Like, those are questions that just don't need to be asked anymore. If you have anybody that wants to be all hands on deck here, you got to get them in here. Your ego has to go away and it's time to go to work. Like, those are the things that I think have been hammered here. And it's listening to people, not steamrolling people, understanding and hearing them beyond just like checking and being like, hey, how you doing? Because I think that's ultimately, they lost that. I mean, they lost,
right.
It was clear. I mean, if they hadn't made those changes, I think in this offseason to the level they did with the staff, I mean, you would have seen, I mean, I don't know how many kids ended up transferring out this year, but I mean, you could double that. I'll just say it. I mean, like, I don't know what the number ended up being, but you could have doubled it because people were not happy. They didn't feel, I mean, that's all you heard. I'm sorry. It just was. People were not, they were uncomfortable. I don't know if they were just even mad at any one thing in particular. It was just something that it needed a fresh coat of paint or an adjustment or whatever. And they did that. They addressed those things. But now the question becomes, you know, is that going to be enough in the immediate to sort of get you to convince people, like we talked about earlier in the show, to convince people that you're sort of finally moving this in the right direction? Or do you say, all right, forget it. Like, Jim, you got to go and we got to start this thing whole, you know, completely over again. That's the thing that hangs over. But that's the big story of the offseason to me is, you know, listening to people around you and making hiring decisions from a recruiting standpoint, from a communication standpoint, all these things that make a lot more sense than the decisions that we've seen him make in previous years. I mean, some of them have been very good and some of them have been like, I don't know what you're doing here. These have all made sense to me.
Right. I mean, it is really hard to function as any kind of operation if there's that level of disconnect.
Yeah, it just, it was clear.
It just speaks to so much about.
Well, I think COVID, all these things.
COVID, like anything else, it exasperated anything. So if you weren't like.
Right,
we,
that's a great
We talked
way to
about
say.
This going into last year.
Made
we
anything talk,
This
worse.
Was a conversation.
Yeah.
The places that have it together and communicate and are on top of things and have, you know, really good internal functions in place are going to be the ones that come out.
Be just fine.
And, you know, it was clearly too much strain on.
Yeah. I mean, it was not operating efficiently. Right. Is probably the best way to say it. Like, it just was not. And, I don't know every single detail about every inner working that was going on, but, you know, right. I mean, I can tell you with pretty clear certainty that it was not operating efficiently enough. And you're right. I mean, look at across the parking lot. Look at Juwan Howard's basketball team.
Yeah.
How they handled COVID.
Yep.
They had to stop in the middle of the season, undefeated, I believe, for what was it, 2 weeks?
Yep.
And then came back after 2 weeks and beat a ranked team on the road, for God's sake. Like, a complete opposite situation, but also one that we looked at that team from the inside out and said, they're as cohesive as any team that's their peer in the country, right? Like, they are all in together. And obviously, it's a smaller group of people and everything else, but like, that happened in football. You look at Alabama. Alabama is a machine, and they were all about a task, and they went out and just absolutely destroyed everyone because they were the only team. Well, obviously, they have more talent, but they also were just
right.
They're all so focused. And Michigan, under Harbaugh, has really never been, not since 2016 anyway. So,
yeah,
you nailed it because it's like any crack that you had entering COVID was going to turn into a crater, and Michigan had way too many cracks. That cratered, the bottom rusted out, and they had to restart it somehow, some way. Some people thought Harbaugh should have been the guy that leaves.
Right.
Maybe they're right. Maybe that is how this turns out. But, you know, I don't think that anybody at Michigan has said anything publicly or privately about, well, Jim's just going to be here for 10 years or 20, you know. I haven't heard that. I don't know about you.
No.
I haven't heard anybody tell me that Jim's just on easy street here and, like, he's fine. He's just, you know, whatever. This isn't Kirk. This is not a Kirk Ferentz situation, as far as I understand it, at the moment. He's got to win, and he's got to show that they're getting better. Like in all the areas.
Kirk Ferentz has played in a Big Ten championship game last time.
That's what I mean. Like when I say Kirk Ferentz, I mean a guy that's just going to be there for a long time because of stability, right? Like you say, well, we're going to ride, even if he has a couple bad years, we'll ride through it with him, and that's not what this is, I don't think. And I don't think he would say that either. I don't think Harbaugh would say that.
So, anything else that he said jump out to you?
I mean, he said McNamara was the presumptive starter, which wasn't really surprising. That was sort of the thought after spring practice, but it is a departure from sort of Jim Harbaugh. Like, we don't hear that from him. It used to be, well, we're just going to cage match it out. We're just going to duke it out. We got this transfer coming in. We'll see what happens.
Right.
And this was different. This was him telling a kid. Because, again, we talked about that at the top. Like, what is Media Day about anymore?
It's all messaging, right?
It's not about what they say to us. Like, we don't even need to be there. Like, it's right. They don't even really want us there, to be quite honest. It's about what they say to their players and their fans. So the guys on the roster and their fans. So when he goes into Media Day every other year and says, like, well, we're going to have – Shea Patterson's going to have to fight off old Dylan McCaffrey. I can tell you right now that's not making Shea Patterson feel too good three weeks before the – you know, whatever. So I think that right there is like a small – maybe it's nothing, maybe it doesn't matter, but like to me, that's okay. I understand why you would say that because, you know, he was the guy that played the best in the spring. Let's not bullshit here or lie or make something, you know, more complicated than it has to or challenge a guy in the media or whatever. Like they don't respond like that like they did 30, 40 years ago. I think a lot of this for Harbaugh is still like listening to the people around him and taking the time to understand how 20-year-olds interpret things these days because it's not the same as it was even 10 years ago. It's not the same as it was even 5 years ago. And if you're not able to keep up with that, you know, that's college coaching. You know that. I mean, that's right. It's an interesting time for it, especially with NIL and everything else, because if you can't really keep up with that sort of wave, you know what I mean? Like, good luck. I mean, I think, and that's going to be a test for a lot of coaches that have otherwise had really good careers, great careers in a lot of places, because it's going to be a very big change. And it'll be very interesting to see how this all goes, because I, for one, don't know. I can't take a guess on a lot of this stuff. It all feels very new, I guess.
Yeah. Different man up there. No hat. I feel like he's worn his hat to all the other Big
Ten
media days.
I feel like there was maybe one time where he had the suit on. It was like the years where he was really feeling it, probably, right? Where he was like, we got a good team. So I'm going to show up in a polo shirt with my hair messed up and I don't give, you know, I'm going to act like I don't give a shit or whatever. Like that's, I feel like that's when he would show up with like the, there was one year he went to something and his hair was like messy. And I feel like it was, somebody said something about it. I'm like, yeah, he's got a good team. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't care about any of this. Like whatever, which is fine. And now, you know, you see him up there today, seemed like a guy that was a little more engaged.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right or wrong? He did seem, I mean, we all, rightly so, have criticized Jim Harbaugh a ton, right? And we'll continue, I'm sure, to do that as we go forward here. But to me, this year, all I've heard, and he has not talked much, obviously, and I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, for different reasons. But all I've heard from people that I would trust is that he's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying everything he can think of. He's trying everything. It's I don't know if I want to call it like Hail Mary time, but maybe that's what this is. He's trying everything he can because I think it has been communicated to me at least more times than I can count. Like he really wants this to work badly, badly, badly. It's not just an ego thing with him. I don't think, I mean, obviously it's, you know, that's a big part of it. You know, I don't want my personal legacy as a coach to just crater out here, but
right.
It's also, you know, this is a guy who's never really, not in this part of his career, he's never left the job that he didn't feel like he finished or, you know, at least made significant progress in. And he could maybe argue when this is all said and done, well, hey, maybe I helped them avoid where they were probably going to inevitably end up faster. Or maybe I was able to help in certain things. You can always find stuff. But really, at the end of the day, if it ended tomorrow, they're not really any better as a football team than they were outside looking in 30,000 feet when he took the job. So the whole thing we talked about when we started the conversation about Harbaugh, I'm going to do it or I'm going to die trying. Like that's Jim Harbaugh. And like,
yeah, I mean, this, that was the full,
yeah,
that feels like the full circle moment from, what was his one quote? Like way back where he was like about coming home and there was, God was in there somewhere.
All sorts of stuff.
I don't know. Right. But like, I do think it does mean that much to him though. Like that, that is not fake.
No. I think the
possibility of this thing is ending as this just sobering, right? Like it just never happened. And now you're just, what are you, Jim Harbaugh? Right. Like this was supposed to be the thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot pinging around someone's head, man. So I don't think it's a matter of, you know, my way or the highway. I think that's over. or if it ever was the case.
Yes, that is over. That is over. Right. I mean, you even heard him say today when they asked him about Mike McDonald, mm-hmm. and he went to his brother,
yeah,
and he was like, you know, I need help.
Yes.
Like, I think, you know, and he's asked for help before. But like, he, you know, John Harbaugh said, this is going to be the guy that's going to be our next defensive coordinator. You take him. You need him more than I do right now. And that is okay and fine. Like, that's the thing that I would probably communicate to people is like, I think Jim Harbaugh has spent a lot of time this offseason. You haven't really read or heard about it because he hasn't talked to anybody in public or whatever. But like, I think he has, from all things I've heard, he has spent a lot of time trying to lean on people around him and ask for help and be like, hey, look, I don't know everything. Obviously, I have blind spots. I need help. Can you help me out here? I want this to work, and I'm going to try everything. And I don't know if it will, but that's all I've said all offseason. I mean, it might blow up spectacularly in their face, and they might be just terrible. They could be. I don't know. But
there's the
question.
It won't
be out of lack of effort. You know what I mean? Yeah.
From my vantage point, then, like, this all sets up as the question of, is it too late?
It might be too late.
Because even if there is this change, mm-hmm. right, if that's even the right word, which who knows, right?
Sure.
But if there is something different that's now at works or in the works, whatever, and it kind of does get going in the right direction, well, even still, if you're a 500 football team next year, I don't know how many people are going to be okay just letting it ride.
Just take it because, like, that's
so,
the thing.
I don't, yeah.
It's how much can you do to get back what you've lost in 1 year? And it's been kind of the, for me, with so many things, it has been the hallmark of the Jim Harbaugh run to this point in Michigan is that it has been too late. You've been too late. You've been too late on everything. You've been a step late or two steps late or a half step late or a half inch late, right? In some cases, right there. Or really late, like in some cases, right? Like changing your offense, mm-hmm. You know, some of the staffing decisions, just a lot of things over the years have always felt like they were, that's a good move. Should have happened maybe a year ago. Should have happened six months ago. Should have happened maybe 2 years ago. Like, I can't even, we've talked about that 1,000 times. I've talked about it with Austin 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. So many other people, like, boy, imagine what this would have looked like if they were running this offense 6 years ago when they had all those, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff. So you got to change that. And to not be too late would be to be ahead of schedule. And you got to do something abnormal. And I think that that's what this probably boils down to for Michigan right now. And I've, like, tussled with this a lot. People have asked me all year, like, what's he have to do to save his job? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? They say, well, what's he got to go? What's his record? And I'm like, I don't think
that's
it's
the
a record.
Thing. I don't think it is. And Ward, like, Ward does not, Ward would not function that way. There's no way that he has a, you got to win 9 games. There's just no chance of that. I think needs to see the functionality that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I think he needs to see, right, progress on the field and things like that. And if it still means that they didn't have a great record, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that, you know, Ward does say, like, you've done the things that I've asked, and that's going to take a while to spell out in the standings.
Right.
But this thing's going in the right way. But I just don't know how that's going to sit with a lot of people.
Well, that's what
people.
I was going to say. Because at the end of the day, like, Ward Manuel is not going to make the decision in a vacuum by himself. You know, it's going to be his call. But he's not going to make it by himself completely, and everybody understands that. And he's going to be the one that has to deliver the decision and everything else. But whatever. At the end of the day, I think that what you said holds completely true. Like, they could do all the things and fix and show significant progress to work on all the things that they've said you need to fix these things and still be like a 5-7 or 6-6 team. And I don't know if you can sell that. And I don't think he would. I don't think at this point, I don't think Ward Manuel would try to sell something that he knows he can't sell to other, you know what I mean? So that's why I just keep saying, like, yeah, you'll know. You'll know. I mean, I really do think it'll be because we've all seen the same thing here, right? We've all seen the trend. We've all seen it's been very obvious. There's no more questions. And so it's a very interesting time, but I don't think it'll be a boring year for Michigan one way or the other, but yeah, I'm interested to see how it looks. I have no idea. I really don't. I haven't. Yeah.
What do you expect to see from Mel Tucker tomorrow?
I expect
this is like a little bit of like a Kevin Warren type situation where he never really got to do this. And now he gets to come out and kind of put himself out there. And this guy,
100%.
you know, who just never had a chance to get his thing going, has to feel like every moment he gets to get in front of a camera or go just be Mel Tucker, right? Like, you need to capitalize on everything for this guy to kind of get their re-envisioned brand kind of going.
I would expect him to take the opportunity to use this as exactly that, yes. It's just a giant recruiting pitch for 15 minutes if somebody will give him the time to do it. Like, I think that for him, that makes the most sense. You sell yourself. You sell what you're trying to be about. The guys that you bring there are going to do the same thing. And for Mel Tucker right now, I think it's selling the fact that they're not comfortable with waiting. We saw in this offseason what they did from a transfer standpoint, how aggressive they were. If you've paid super close attention and you've followed Colton like you should be, you've seen all the moves they've made from a recruiting standpoint. That recruiting department has been shuffled because he was not thrilled, I don't think, with how Michigan State was being. Even in a COVID year, I think Mel Tucker held his staff to a pretty sharp standard from a recruiting standpoint. I don't think was overly thrilled with how things are going. So they've made some adjustments. Some people have left. Some people have come in. They hired Thomas Wilcher from Cass Tech to be involved with that whole thing. So I think that, yes, I think it'll be a lot about him sort of introducing who he is to a larger number of people, because Mel Tucker is a really interesting guy who's been in football for a long, long time and had really big jobs. NFL head coach, defensive coordinator at Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. And there's a lot of people who don't really know who he is. Like, I mean, still, right? So, yes, this is an opportunity for him to be himself and sort of show that. And I would expect that that'll be him. The one thing I will be interested to see, though, is sometimes Mel Tucker, and I don't know him, I don't pretend to know him, but like sometimes he can come off as like too buttoned up, I feel like. I feel like he needs to be a little more of the guy that we saw, you know, we would see on Twitter smoking his cigar on his deck with his Rottweilers or whatever. Like, that's the guy that you need to go up there and be on the stage. I wouldn't shock me at all if we see something like that from him. Because I would think that's the most important thing for them right now, is to get word out, continue to upgrade your talent level best you can.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could see a lot of coaches today were already kind of leaning into like the NIL stuff, right?
Oh,
I love, one quote from PJ Fleck was, I'm super pumped up for NIL. I'm like, well, that's probably not the case, but whatever, you got to say that out loud, right? Like, all these coaches saying that they love this that much, like, it's just comical.
Yourself, like all of you guys out there with your publicists and everybody else, it's still the same thing. Be yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Just be a good person and like, be like, if you come here, I'm going to do my best to make sure you make as much money as possible, but I'm not going to stand here and read a checklist box that somebody delivered me this morning. Sometimes I think some of these guys get too buttoned up with it.
Scott Frost saying, I love NIL because, you know, Nebraska is really the only game in town. Like, yeah, no shit. You're definitely the biggest thing in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's great.
That's awesome.
Like, but we know.
Great. But yeah, I mean, like, I just, it's an interesting time, and it's going to be a weird year because, like, a lot of these people too are, you know, that's the other thing. Like, these coaches, you got to remember, they haven't been around people for like a year and a half either. And they're they've just been sitting there in their little boxes waiting for these sales pitches, these in-person sales pitches to be delivered. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that here before the weekends, I would assume.
This goddamn media day is still going on. It's still on my TV.
The SEC is 3 or 4 days.
I mean,
I think. And the Big Ten is now just the two. I mean, I used to lobby when I was beat writing for this to be done in 4 hours via a telephone call. Okay. You know me, right? Or not at all. But, you know, no one listens to me, and probably for the best. And so it's only 2 days now, but I don't know. I wonder if they will expand it.
Probably. Well, once they add 28 schools in the league, you'll have to.
Once they add Notre Dame, Kansas, and the Jets to the Big Ten, so you relegate. I don't know, man. It's just a fascinating time. It really is, because there's a lot. Like, I wasn't even like when the SEC thing happened, right? The Oklahoma Texas thing. I wasn't even like, oh, I'm shocked. I was like, oh, like there's another meteor hitting college football. And it doesn't even feel like a meteor anymore. It just feels like another day. Like, that's sort of where I'm at with it, because if I can look back to all the way like a year ago at this time, holy shit, how much stuff has happened in the last 12 months. You just get like completely overwhelmed by it to this point where there's just so many things. And I think that that's going to continue.
That's the thing. At this time, last year, we didn't know if there was a season. And in many cases,
there was
basically said outright that there wasn't going to be one.
I think we thought there was not going to be.
Yeah.
This time last year, but we were really sort of anxious to see how people would react to it when they finally said that they're not going to have it. And they reacted about like we thought they would. So it didn't work out too well. But hopefully this year, moving forward, no interruptions, we hope. I know Kevin Warren talked about that. Chief medical officer coming to the Big Ten, I believe. I saw that today as well. So, you know, and it was good to see some coaches too in the league. I saw Scott Frost said that too. The quickest way to the best way to a season without interruption is for everybody to get vaccinated. So
yeah,
go do it. I mean, yeah. You know, that's you mentioned that thing about Saban earlier, but it was nice to hear some of that with the. Yeah, I mean, I did hear that a couple times from I think a couple Big Ten coaches said that, and you know, we haven't heard a lot of that in the NFL. I mean, I'm just going to say from my, you know, we were on those guys in the summer. We heard a lot of most NFL players were like, "It's none of your business. Don't worry about it."
Right.
You know, which is their right to do. So.
Well, and think about it, like this time last year, you know, this was when things were starting to really bubble with just teams kind of going their own way and stuff like that.
But nobody knew what to do. There was no plan.
Right.
It was just fractured.
So, you know, I imagine behind closed doors, right, there was probably out there and wherever the hell this thing is, Indy, right?
Yeah.
I imagine behind closed doors, there is some, we need to all get into the same room, look at each other in the eyes.
Oh my God, 100,000%. Yes.
Like, I mean, among like the actual Big Ten constituents, right? Like not the media. No one gives a shit about that. Right.
Like, yes, the coaches need to get together. The ADs need to get together. All of them. Everyone. Every single person who has anything to do with any. I mean, if you have the opportunity to finally do that again for the first time in however long, and then figure out what you're going to do going forward, because Kevin Warren said it. It's a, well, I don't know what the word he used, but it's a, what do you say, inflection point or something? Like,
yeah.
That's what this is to me. And I think everyone would agree with that. I'm not saying anything that's so crazy here. It feels like we don't know a whole lot about where this is all going to go, but we all know it's going to change. And it's sort of like everyone, you need to find who can best help get you through that change. And I think a lot of people are sort of bracing for that right now. We see that a lot right now, I think, in sports in general, kind of across the board. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Nice.
It won't be boring, my man.
Well, we will we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a recommendation.
What do you got?
This is actually my second time going. Have you ever been to the Southerner in Saugatuck?
No.
Legendary, man.
Southerner in Saugatuck?
It is the best fried chicken that you will find
anywhere
in the Midwest.
Okay. I was going to say. No,
I spent enough time in the South, but Southerner right on a, it's kind of just out on its own. It's not like downtown Saugatuck, but holy shit, man.
So you just ate fried chicken and drank whiskey and.
Yeah. There was 20 of us. And we did like the family style where you just order like. Just give us all of the menu basically. And we crushed. So hit the Southerner if you're out on the west side.
There you go.
Anything else? We drank at this place called the Parents Lounge in downtown Holland. I think it was the only place open.
What all cities did you go to?
We played mainly right out by like the Holland Saugatuck area.
Okay. Right over there.
Did one night in Grand Rapids. And played a course kind of out that way. But yeah, all
great stuff over there.
All great stuff. All great stuff. So, all right, that's it. Nick,
yes, sir.
I think I held it together. thanks for carrying, you know, probably more weight than you needed to.
Draw the shades and take some of your Tylenol and sleep it off.
Next time we're doing this in person.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
All right, everyone. Be safe out there. Tip your bartenders and servers. Good night.
Place where I was born and raised, the place where I